The Go blog. Type construction and cycle detection. Go static typing is an important part of why Go is a good fit for production systems that have to be robust and reliable. When a Go package is compiled, it is first parsed, meaning that the Go source code within that package is converted into an abstract syntax tree, or ASD. This ASD is then passed to the Go type checker. In this blog post, we'll dive into a part of the type checker we significantly improved in Go 1.26. How does this change things from a Go user's perspective? Unless one is fond of arcane type definitions, there's no observable change here. This refinement was intended to reduce corner cases, setting us up for future improvements to Go. Also, it's a fun look at something that seems quite ordinary to Go programmers, but has some real subtleties hiding within. But first, what exactly is type checking? It's a step in the Go compiler that eliminates whole classes of errors at compile time. Specifically, the Go type checker verifies that types appearing in the ASD are valid. For example, a map's key type must be comparable. Operations involving those types, or their values, are valid. For example, one can't add an int and a string. To accomplish this, the type checker constructs an internal representation for each type it encounters while traversing the ASD, a process informally called type construction. As we'll soon see, even though Go is known for its simple type system, type construction can be deceptively complex in certain corners of the language. Type construction. Let's start by considering a simple pair of type declarations. Type tu. Type u asterisk int. When the type checker is invoked, it first encounters the type declaration for t. Here, the ASD records a type definition of a type name t. And a type expression u. A t is a defined type to represent the actual data structure that the type checker uses when constructing defined. Types will use a defined struct. The defined struct contains a pointer to the type for the type expression to the right of the type name. This underlying field is relevant for sourcing the type's underlying type to help illustrate the type checker's state. Let's see how walking the ASD fills in the data structures, starting with at this point t is under construction, indicated by the color yellow, since we haven't evaluated the type expression u. Yet it's still black, underlying. Points to nil, indicated by an open arrow, when we evaluate u. The type checker constructs a slice. Struct the internal data structure used to represent slice types, similarly to defined. It contains a pointer to the element type for the slice. We don't yet know what the name u refers to, though we expect it to refer to a type. So again, this pointer is nil. We are left with. By now you might be getting the gist, so we'll pick up the pace a bit. To convert the type name u to a type, we first locate its declaration. Upon seeing that it represents another defined type, we construct a separate defined for u. Accordingly, inspecting the right side of u, we see the type expression int, which evaluates to a pointer struct with the base type of the pointer being the type expression int. When we evaluate int, something special happens. We get back a predeclared type. Predeclared types are constructed before the type checker even begins walking the ASD. Since the type for int is already constructed, there's nothing for us to do but point to that type. We now have. Note that the pointer type is complete at this point, indicated by the color green. Completeness means that the type's internal data structure has all of its fields populated, and any types pointed to by those fields are complete. Completeness is an important property of a type because it ensures that accessing the internals or deconstruction of that type is sound. We have all the information describing the type. In the image above, the pointer struct only contains a base field which points to int. Since int has no fields to populate, it's vacuously complete, making the type for asterisk int Complete, from here, the type checker begins unwinding the stack. Since the type for int is complete, we can complete the type for you. Meaning we can complete the type for you. And so on for t. When this process ends, we are left with only complete types, as shown below. The numbering above shows the order in which the types were completed, after the pointer. Note that the type on the bottom completed first, type construction, is naturally a depth-first process, since completing a type requires its dependencies to be completed first, recursive types. With this simple example out of the way, let's add a bit more nuance. Go's type system also allows us to express recursive types. A typical example is something like type node struct, next node. If we reconsider our example from above, we can add a bit of recursion by swapping asterisk int for asterisk t, like so. Type tu, type u asterisk t. Now for a trace, let's start once more with t, but skip ahead to illustrate the effects of this change. As one might suspect from our previous example, the type checker will approach the evaluation of asterisk t with the below state. The question is what to do with the base type for asterisk t. We have an idea of what t is a defined, but it's currently being constructed, its underlying is still nil. We simply point the base type for asterisk t to t, even though t is incomplete. We do this assuming that t will complete when it finishes construction in the future by pointing to a complete type. When that happens, base will point to a complete type, thus making asterisk t complete. In the meantime, we'll begin heading back up the stack. When we get back to the top and finish constructing t, the loop of types will close, completing each type in the loop simultaneously. Before, we considered recursive types, evaluating a type expression always returned a complete type. That was a convenient property because it meant the type checker could always deconstruct, look inside, a type returned from evaluation. But in the example above, evaluation of t returned an incomplete type, meaning deconstructing t is unsound until it completes. Generally speaking, recursive types mean that the type checker can no longer assume that types returned from evaluation will be complete. Yet, type checking involves many checks which require deconstructing a type. Classic example is confirming that a map key is comparable, which requires inspecting the underlying field. How do we safely interact with incomplete types like t? Recall that type completeness is a prerequisite for deconstructing a type. In this case, type construction never deconstructs a type, it merely refers to types. In other words, type completeness does not block type construction here. Because type construction isn't blocked, the type checker can simply delay such checks until the end of type checking, when all types are complete. Note that the checks themselves also do not block type construction. If a type were to reveal a type error, it makes no difference when that error is reported during type checking, only that it is reported eventually. With this knowledge in mind, let's examine a more complex example involving values of incomplete types, recursive types and values. Let's take a brief detour and have a look at Go's array types. Importantly, array types have a size, which is a constant that is part of the type. Some operations, like the built-in functions unsafe, sizeof, and len, can return constants when applied to certain values or expressions, meaning they can appear as array sizes. Importantly, the values passed to those functions can be of any type, even an incomplete type. We call these incomplete values. Let's consider this example. Type t unsafe, sizeof t int. In the same way as before, we'll reach a state like the one below. To construct the array, we must calculate its size from the value expression unsafe sizeof t. That's the size of t. For array types such as t, calculating their size requires deconstruction. We need to look inside the type to determine the length of the array and size of each element. In other words, type construction for the array. Does deconstruct T, meaning the array, cannot finish construction, let alone complete, before T completes, the loop trick that we used earlier, where a loop of types simultaneously completes as the type starting the loop finishes. Construction doesn't work here. This leaves us in a bind. T cannot be completed until the array completes the array. Cannot be completed until T completes. They cannot be completed simultaneously, unlike before. Clearly, this is impossible to satisfy. What is the type checker to do? Cycle detection. Fundamentally, code such as this is invalid because the size of T cannot be determined without knowing the size of T. Regardless of how the type checker operates, this particular instance, cyclic size definition, is part of a class of errors called cycle errors, which generally involve cyclic definition of Go constructs. As another example, consider type TT, which is also in this class, but for different reasons. The process of finding and reporting cycle errors in the course of type checking is called cycle detection. Now, how does cycle detection work for type T unsafe? Sizeof T int. To answer this, let's look at the inner T. Because T is a composite literal expression, the type checker knows that its resulting value is of type T. Because T is incomplete, we call the value T an incomplete value. We must be cautious. Operating on an incomplete value is only sound if it does deconstruct the value's type. For example, type T unsafe, sizeof new T int is sound since the value new T of type T is never deconstructed. All pointers have the same size. To reiterate, it is sound to size an incomplete value of type T, but not one of type T. This is because the pointerness of asterisk T provides enough type information for unsafe sizeof, whereas just T does not. In fact, it's never sound to operate on an incomplete value whose type is a defined type, because a mere type name conveys no underlying type information at all. Where to do it? Up to now, we've focused on unsafe sizeof, directly operating on potentially incomplete values. In type T unsafe, sizeof T int, the call to unsafe sizeof is just the root of the array length expression. We can readily imagine the incomplete value T as an operand in some other value expression. For example, it could be passed to a function, i.e. type T unsafe, sizeof f T int, sliced, i.e. type T unsafe, sizeof T int, indexed, i.e. type T unsafe, sizeof T0 int, etc. All of these are invalid because they require deconstructing T. For instance, indexing T requires checking the underlying type of T. Because these expressions consume potentially incomplete values, let's call them downstreams. There are many more examples of downstream operators, some of which are not syntactically obvious. Similarly, T is just one example of an expression that produces a potentially incomplete value. Let's call these kinds of expressions upstreams. Comparatively, there are fewer and more syntactically obvious value expressions that might result in incomplete values. Also, it's rather simple to enumerate these cases by inspecting Go's syntax definition. For these reasons, it'll be simpler to implement our cycle detection logic via the upstreams, where potentially incomplete values originate. Below are some examples of them. Type T unsafe, sizeof T42, int conversion. Func f, t. Type T unsafe, sizeof f, int function call. Var I interface. Type T unsafe, sizeof I, t, int assertion. Type T unsafe, sizeof nlt, make nlt chan t, int channel receive. Type T unsafe, sizeof make map int t42 int map access. Type T unsafe, sizeof asterisk new t, int dereference. suspects, and a handful more. For each of these cases, the type checker has extra logic where that particular kind of value expression is evaluated. As soon as we know the type of the resulting value, we insert a simple test that checks that the type is complete. For instance, in the conversion example, type T unsafe. Sizeoff, T 42. Int. There is a snippet in the type checker that resembles func call expr call asterisk syntax, call expr operand. X equals type or value call, fun. Switch X mode. Other cases. Case type expr. T, meaning it's a conversion. T equals X type. Handle the conversion, T is not safe to deconstruct. As soon as we observe that the call expr is a conversion to T, we know that the resulting type will be T. Assuming no preceding errors, before we pass back a value, here an operand of type T to the rest of the type checker, we need to check for completeness of T. Func call expr call asterisk syntax, call expr operand. X equals type or value call, fun. Switch X mode. Other cases. Case type expr. T, meaning it's a conversion. T equals X type. Plus if is complete T. Plus report cycle error, T. Plus return invalid. Handle the conversion, T is asterisk safe to deconstruct. Instead of returning an incomplete value, we return a special invalid operand, which signals that the call expression could not be evaluated. The rest of the type checker has special handling for invalid operands. By adding this, we prevented incomplete values from escaping downstream, both into the rest of the type conversion logic and to downstream operators, and instead reported a cycle error describing the problem with T. A similar code pattern is used in all other cases, implementing cycle detection for incomplete values. Conclusion: systematic cycle detection involving incomplete values is a new addition to the type checker. Before Go 1.26, we used a more complex type construction algorithm, which involved more bespoke cycle detection that didn't always work. Our new, simpler approach addressed a number of admittedly esoteric compiler panics. Issues 75,918, 76,383, 76,384, 76,478, and more, resulting in a more stable compiler. As programmers, we've become accustomed to features like recursive type definitions and sized array types such that we might overlook the nuance of their underlying complexity. While this post does skip over some finer details, hopefully we've conveyed a deeper understanding of, and perhaps appreciation for, the problems surrounding type checking in Go. Next article, introducing the PKG. Go, Dev API. Previous article, Go, Fix Inline and the Source Level Inliner. Blog Index,